Hey guys, welcome back to the Six Side Cultural Podcast. Today it's just me and Dan on today. Enzo couldn't join us unfortunately, but we have a great podcast leading up. Obviously, if you guys watch the city, yeah, you know me and Dan are very happy of this weekend, and not to mention this is the first international break. I think we're all very excited about with the Nations League semifinals and potential finals coming up, so we have a lot to unravel, and we're just gonna start off with Napoli Fiorentina. So Dan, I'm gonna let you take it away and share your thoughts on the game.
Yeah, so the game didn't start off good for us at all. The first, I believe, 20 minutes or so up to when Fiorentina got their goal, we were just so sloppy in possession. We couldn't pass it out. Fiorentina had a lot of possession, and they were just like all over us. We were getting outplayed. Then Fiorentina opened the scoring off a beautiful cross. I think it was off a corner, I believe, where Vlahovic headed it back to Martes Cueta, who finished it nicely, especially for a center back. So it was a great goal, work goal for Fiorentina. But once that goal went in, it seemed like Napoli were getting more comfortable in possession. They were causing a lot of problems. Victor Osimhen, the whole game, was causing that Fiorentina defense problems, running in behind with his speed. Especially because he's so fast, and when he runs, it's like he's like he covers so much on the pitch. So it was nice to see Osimhen get in behind, cause problems for Fiorentina. Won us the penalty shot, which was easily a penalty shot any day of the week. So Insigne couldn't score a penalty. Beautiful, nice save by Dragowski, and he made a nice save too on the rebound where Insigne headed it. Right to Dragowski. Dragowski got a nice piece to it, but then Lozano was able to clear up the mess. And then that free kick, what a free kick it was. A little fake play by Insigne, pretending he was going to take it. Then Zielinski took it with his left foot, usually because he's a right-footed player, but it was a beautiful cross with his left foot. Ramani was there to header it back post, and it was just a beautiful goal. One thing I really liked about Napoli this game, it was like Spalletti's characteristics. He didn't give up. Napoli didn't give up once going down early. And that was like, this is kind of like our story this whole season. We keep fighting till the end of the whistle, to the final whistle. That's what Spalletti's teaching us. And I'm all in favor of it because I'm a true believer. The game's not over until the final whistle blows. And you have to play until the final whistle blows. So it was another classic Spalletti-Napoli win. Coming back early. Coming back. After trailing early and pick up the 3 points to put us in first place heading into this international break. So we need to continue playing like this. We got some guys back. It was nice to see Mertens come back for his first game. He's been out for a while, I believe, since last season. He hasn't trained with us. So it was since coming back from the injury, so it was a nice return for him. He's going to be a key factor for us, especially now that Unas is out maybe 3-4 weeks with an injury picked up in training. So Mertens is going to be relied on heavily to come off the bench, create that spark. And I just hope Napoli can continue to play the way we can, because we have some big games coming up after this international break.
Yeah, I definitely think this was not one of Napoli's biggest games of the season. Obviously, not mentioning Juve. But I definitely thought Fiorentina was going to get a result here. Obviously, playing away in Florence
is never... It's a tough place to play. Yeah,
not only is it a tough place to play, but Dan, I think you know, for both of us here, once Napoli lose that first game of the season, their self-esteem just plummets. And I thought that was the case after they lost to Spartak Moscow in the Europa League. And it was looking like that, the way they were playing in the opening half hour of the game. But like you said, Spalletti motivated the team extremely well, and the team just played until the final whistle and just gave it their all. And they came away with a scrappy but efficient 2-1 win. And Napoli are still undefeated this season. Not only undefeated, just all wins in Serie A. So it's looking good for them right now, but they still have a long way to go and a lot of hard games coming up. Especially, so we've got to see how Napoli just handle the pressure now.
And especially too, it was like a typical Spalletti win. We were down early. He must have said something to us, like, once we conceded the goal, we just woke up. We got the penalty shot. We got a beautiful header by Romani. A great rebound finish by Lozano. I was very surprised too, because the way the game started, I thought for sure that we were going to lose because of just the way we played. We were playing, and just the way like we lost and the way we came out. So I thought we were going to lose, but Napoli proved me wrong, which I'm very happy about. And it's tough too, because we went from playing at home against a tough Moscow team that we showed to traveling to Florence and play Fiorentina, who are a tough side. They got a very good side, a very good coach, and Italiano. And just to come away with the 3 points, anytime you get 3 points on the road, you take it, no matter if it's ugly, if it's a domination win, you take it. And this one was kind of ugly, but Napoli in the second half really settled in. And they were the better half in the second half, and we came out with the 3 points.
Yeah, obviously, not only was it just a great week for Serie A, for entertainment value, with Atalanta, Milan, Juve, Torino, the late winner, Napoli, Fiorentina, the nail-biter. Just something we're going to have to talk about here. The Koulibaly incident in Fiorentina was just disgusting.
Yeah, it was Koulibaly, Osimhen, and also Anguissa apparently reporting too that they were being racially abused by the Fiorentina fans. There's no place in the world for that, and it's just stupidity from the Fiorentina fans. Disgraceful, and we just wish Koulibaly, Osimhen, and Anguissa like our support. We give them our support.
Yeah, of course.
Especially me being a Napoli fan. These guys are warriors. They're such an amazing players and very good people off the pitch as well. You can see what they do for the fans, so what they do for the team. So there's no place like that in the world. And hopefully the Federation steps in and gives Fiorentina a big punishment, especially, well, for the fans, give them a punishment.
Of course, yeah.
Toss those idiots out. Hopefully they never get to watch a soccer game or calcio game in their life again, because there's no place for that in the world.
Yeah, very, very disturbing scenes in Florence. But hopefully, you know, those fans get made an example of, and we start seeing less and less of those as more fans go into the stadiums, as the stadium capacity has increased now from 50% to 75%, I believe, now. So hopefully, as more fans go in, they're more cordial fans and less of those idiots who just want to make a name for themselves and never be able to watch a game again. But moving on to a more positive note, all the Juve fans are probably jumping up and down right now. Obviously, the Derby della Mole, a very historic derby between Juventus and Torino, away for Juventus was very difficult. But I was confident in the lads, you know, after that Chelsea performance. I was very confident that we would beat Torino. The only downside of this game was I don't think we played as good as we could have. We played so good against Chelsea with the 4-3-3 and the false nine. Even if Bernadeschi was the false nine, we still played very well. And then Allegri kind of just went back to his 4-4-2, and I feel like we were playing very poor against Torino. It was very clustered in the mid. We kept intercepting Torino, and then Torino kept intercepting us. And it was just a big pile of mess. But for the most part, you know, we came out with the win. Bernadeschi, the guy was a ghost. Rabiot, I think he's fantastic defensively. Offensively, he needs to sharpen up his skills passing. His IQ is there. His just technique with passing and shooting just isn't quite there yet. But getting the interceptions and getting the ball back, being his, the defender one-on-one, he's fantastic. And I think he's great. McKennie, I don't know what's going on with him this season. I don't know if his ego's been inflated with the U.S. national team, that whole debacle, whatever happened. But I don't know what's going on with him, but this season he just isn't clicking. In the midfield, he's still playing subpar, but nothing spectacular. But overall, it was an entertaining game. I definitely thought we were gonna tie 0-0 once the 85th minute mark hit. I just didn't see anything clicking for us. But the second, you know, Moise Kean came off, I think he played a decent game, but his touches were a little bit heavy. His decision making wasn't the strongest. I feel like it was just a bit of a poor game from him. But the minute Cuadrado came on for Moise Kean, our offense just opened up so much more just because of that false nine once again. We just played so amazing. The attack just flowed nicely. And then Kulusevski came on for Bernadeschi, and that was just another huge substitute. Just because Bernadeschi was just a ghost, he didn't do anything to benefit the team. So Kulusevski came on, and it was just another instant impact. And then that beautiful goal by Locatelli to win the derby, assisted by Federico Chiesa. You know, the Italian connection, just like the Euros, it just brought tears to my eye watching that. And I hope, you know, that goal from Locatelli really solidifies his confidence level, and he really starts improving and just showing Allegri that he's a starter game in and game out. I'm really looking forward to him. Hopefully this is the turning point for Juventus. You know, we've been climbing the table. We're in seventh place now. So I just really hope this is the turning point for us. We could go on and challenge current leaders Napoli for the Scudetto. But Dan, did you have any thoughts on this game?
Nope, but I just want to say shout out to Enzo, who actually predicted that it was going to be probably a potential last minute winner for Juve. It seems like it's always like that when it comes to
with
the derby.
Always the last
minute winner. So it was kind of funny, like it actually came through. So just shout out to Enzo for predicting that. And maybe the next one too, hopefully, maybe get some early goals. But always watch the last 15 minutes of that game because you'll probably see a goal somehow.
Yeah, it always is. Always like drama, so it's always interesting to see. But moving on, Dan, I'm going to let you take this one to start off. What were your thoughts on the Sassuolo-Inter game?
Yeah, no, it was a very entertaining match. Early on, Sassuolo got a penalty per way by Berardi. So from there, I thought Sassuolo, I was like, okay, you know what? Maybe Sassuolo could get something from this.
Especially at the Mapai.
At the Mapai, yeah. I was like, you know what? Like, I think Sassuolo can get something from this, like, this match. They played very well the first half, but then Inter in the second half just showed their class, and they showed that their championship mentality. They found two goals with Dzeko, who's been on a tear for Inter.
He has.
So it's just been, like, I've been surprised with how well Dzeko's been playing, especially filling in the shoes of, say, like, Lukaku. So he's been very well. And then Martinez gets the penalty shot after, and Inter pull off the 3 points. It was just a very entertaining match. I was very impressed with the way Perisic played, too. He had a very strong match. I was very impressed with Barella. The guy's a workhorse, man. My goodness. With
very
the
good,
midfield,
yeah.
He can do everything you need him to. He can score. He can assist. He can win the ball back. He's such a good player to have. So it was a very well-performed performance from Inter. Sassuolo, give them a little credit too, that they had a very strong game. It's just the mentality of Inter was too strong for Sassuolo, who I think Sassuolo can cause some upsets this season. They're a very tough side. They got some good players. For me, I prefer if the likes of, say for example, Raspadori might start, but that's a topic to discuss later on. Then there was one incident, French, I would like to get your opinion on it, where I believe it was De Frel. He was in, and Handanovic caught him, and they didn't give him a red card. Do you believe that could have been a red card, or do you think that was the right call on the pitch?
I definitely think with these challenges, they could go 50-50. If that was the Juve goalkeeper, the Polish guy that I refuse to name. If that was him, I definitely think they would have given a red. If it was another referee, I definitely think Handanovic could have seen red. But with those challenges, they're so 50-50. I personally think if the goalie gets the ball, then no matter what happens after, it's clean. But if he misses the ball, then it should be at least a yellow or a red. But with it, it just with these rules, especially handball rules, these goalie rules, it all depends on the referee on the day and what the circumstances are. Just too difficult to call. But I definitely think Handanovic definitely got a bit lucky with that, and we'll see if it happens again, if the rule's going to stay the same, or if that goalie's going to get a red.
Yeah, no, like, I agree. Like, it was a very tough call. I personally thought it was a red card. I just didn't see, he didn't get much of the ball. I don't think he got any of it, if I can recall. He got most of the player. So, I thought it was a red card, but the referee didn't give him a card. They just gave a foul. I believe they just gave a foul. But
yeah.
It was a tough call to make. It's such
very
like a
tough
bang play. That's why VAR's there. So maybe if the ref went to VAR, it's a check. Who knows?
Could have been a different outcome.
We could have been talking about a different result. But overall, Inter got picked up the 3 points. And now they're third place, 4 points behind Napoli. Still undefeated, Inter. So Napoli, Inter, and the team, French, I gave you opinions, but Napoli, Inter, and Milan are the only three teams who are undefeated in the Serie A.
Yeah, I think all three teams all had an explosive start to the season. Inter definitely as expected by most after winning the Scudetto. Even though they've lost Lukaku, they lost Conte, I feel like they still have the championship mentality from last season, so they definitely are one of the favorites for the Scudetto, and to kind of have this form is expected from them. Milan, we've seen what they could do from last season, so they're no surprise for most. They just I'm expecting them to fall off very soon, if I'm being honest, just like every other season. And then Napoli kind of surprised me a bit, just because even though I know Napoli are going to fall off sooner rather than later, it's just seven wins is still an impressive record. And correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, but I think if they win two more, then they break their record from like most wins in like the club's history. And then obviously they'll be behind Juve for like 11.
Yeah, I think our history, I think the most we've had, I think it was eight or nine.
Yeah, I believe it was eight.
And I believe Roma or Juve might have the most consecutive wins in the season.
So I'm looking at it right now. Roma have 10. Then it's Juve 9, Juve 8. And just like Juve 8 with three different seasons. And then Napoli 8. And right now you guys are on 7. So two more and you kind of butt up to like second to third for like longest win streak in Serie A. So it's an impressive start for sure. But for Inter Sassuolo, you know, like Danny said, I think this game could have gotten a lot different, but it just couldn't go Sassuolo's way. Inter definitely played until the final whistle, and we just got to give praise where praise is due. Eden Dzeko has been fantastic for Inter. He's definitely been filling in those boots for Lukaku 100%, and I think even off the bench he's been explosive. I mean, he came off the bench in this game against Sassuolo and he scored right away, so I think that needs to be said. Eden Dzeko has definitely been performing well for Inter. Sassuolo, you know, I wanted them to win, obviously fuck Inter, but they definitely outperformed Sassuolo. I think it was a nail biter of a game, but Inter definitely deserved that win. Like we mentioned earlier, the Handanovic call could have went either way, and that could have determined the outcome of the game. But that's cultural. You're gonna have those controversial calls and those challenges that not everyone agrees with. And I think as Inter fans, they're kind of glad Handanovic stayed, and Sassuolo fans will probably be a little bit more pissed off, and we'll start probably still be debating about that referee's decision. But moving on, I'm going to talk about Atalanta-Milan. For me, this was, if I'm not being biased, of Juve-Torino and that Locatelli game winner that all Juve fans love to see, and probably all Italians, just for Locatelli, love to see such a young, bright midfield talent. Was Milan-Atalanta. This game was shocking to me. I definitely thought it was going to be close, but the way Milan played was fantastic. I definitely think Atalanta were a bit off this game. They played well, but Milan just put the dagger in them. Obviously, you had Calabria who scored. I turned on the game, and, you know, I was expecting, like, some nice build-up play before, like, a goal could get in just to settle in, and Calabria scores within the first minute of the game. I think it was, like, 40 seconds. He scored. It was a great goal from him. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. And we always know, like, Atalanta's defense always lets them down in games, but for the first minute for Milan to score really set the tone of the match, and you could really tell the intensity of the game was going to go right there. Then from there, it was just a lot of back-and-forth action until Tonali scored a rocket right before half. So I think that was 2-0 for Milan. And like I said, when that happened, I feel like, I'm like, okay, Atalanta, their attack is just incredible. You can never count out their attack. So I definitely thought Atalanta was going to start coming in with more pressure in the second half. And they definitely did. Tomori was fantastic this game, I think. Not only since he's gotten that England call-up, but just from last season and this season, his form has just been amazing. And it really goes to show players need a chance to play. Obviously, he didn't get that much chance at Chelsea, and at Milan, he's been giving that treatment and that chance, and he's been fantastic, and Milan fans love to see it. But in the second half, Leao scored 78th minute. Teo Hernandez with a good assist from him, and I definitely thought at that point, I'm like, okay, it's impossible for Atalanta to come back. You know, it's 3-0. Milan are demanding this game. They're playing great. Atalanta's having their chances, but Milan's kind of been holding off their own. And then Zapata got a penalty at the 86th minute. I'm like, okay, a nice little consolation goal for them, but just something clicked right after that penalty, and they were able to score in the injury time from Pasalic, and Zapata with an assist. So Zapata's been really carrying Atalanta's attack for the most part. Like I said, you can never count Atalanta out. It just, there wasn't enough time, for them to get a third to tie it up. I definitely think if there was another, like, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, I think Atalanta could have, proved an upset there and, really came back, because the minute Zapata scored that penalty, a switch just flipped for them, and they were, hungrier. Milan's defense was a little bit weaker. They kind of fell asleep after being 3-0 up. They kind of laid back a little, and it definitely should have been a wake-up call after Pasalic scored for future games, and that they can't really, like, slip up even though they were up 3-0. But I definitely think, you know, Milan deserved that win against Atalanta. They were definitely the bigger team. Obviously, away in Bergamo is never easy, and Milan proved that challenge and conquered it. So, like Danny said, you know, they're still undefeated. And it's going to be interesting to see how they progress through the season. Like we saw last season, they were on form. Everyone thought they were going to win the Scudetto, and they kind of choked it near the end and in the second latter end of the season. So it'll be interesting to see how Milan continue their form. Obviously, when Ibra comes back, how Giroud's going to help them out. But Diaz right now has been, for me, the beating heart of the Rossoneri in the attack. He's been dictating everything. You know, Çalhanoğlu's been great with Inter, but Diaz has been even better with AC Milan. And I think it's only a matter of time for Diaz to kind of click even more into form and really make a difference for this Milan team. But Magic Mike Maignan, you know, obviously he's no Donnarumma, but he's been filling in those gloves pretty good, and he's been great for Milan. So as long as those three key players, Diaz, Tomori, and Maignan, keep doing what they're doing, and a couple of the other players start stepping up a little more, I definitely think Milan do have a shot at definitely getting top four, but maybe even challenging seriously for the Scudetto this year. But moving on, we got another interesting game here. Just want to quickly brush up against Roma Empoli. I know Enzo's not here, unfortunately, but I feel like this is a game Roma needed 100% to kind of get that confidence back after losing. But, you know, a game against Empoli should have been a must-win for Roma. And they got it. Pellegrini has been fantastic this season, and I'm excited to see what he brings to the Mancini squad and the Nations League semifinal against Spain. Really looking forward to him because he's been outstanding for Roma last season and this season. And then Mkhitaryan kind of finished it off early in the second half, and now Roma kind of just dictated Empoli and kind of held their own against Empoli, and Empoli just really couldn't break down Roma's defense and get a goal in the back of the net. But Danny, what do you think about Atalanta Milan and Roma Empoli while we have you here?
Yeah, no, it was really like a very good start for Milan going 3-0 up against Atalanta. I didn't have the chance to watch the game because I was watching the Cowboys game. But when I was looking at the score, I saw it was 3-0 Milan.
Milan, yeah.
Okay. I go, okay, like this is, wow, like this is, didn't expect that at all. I expected a more of a competitive match from Atalanta's standpoint. And then I saw it was 3-1. I go, okay, Zapata pulled one back just to make themselves look a little bit good. And then when I saw 3-2, I go, how much time's left in this game? Like, does Atalanta really have a chance? But then, like, a few minutes, like, later, then I saw it was a final score. But it was good on Atalanta that they didn't go down without a fight, made it closer than what it appeared to be. But Milan remained hot. They're 2 points behind Napoli now. So it's going to be a very tough race, especially after this break, because I believe we do have Roma coming up, and then I think Milan just a few weeks after. So it's going to be a very tough game, very tough road ahead of us. But going to Roma, yeah, it was a big win. I didn't have the chance to watch it again because it was the same time as Napoli. But anytime you can come back, bounce back off of a loss, which they did in the Conference League, and then they bounced back after the they bounced back against Empoli, getting a 2-0 win. So it was nice to see that Roma are back on the winning track. Let's see if they can retain it, because I do believe that we play them after the break too. So it's gonna be a very I think November or something.
Juve play Roma after the break. It's gonna be Roma are on the high horse now after beating Empoli, and they'll be on the low horse after losing to Juve. But it's gonna be another story for another day. You'll see. Me and Enzo's reaction.
Yeah, we play them on the 24th. We play Roma on October 24th.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a big week. Yeah. Juve Inter, Napoli, Roma.
Yeah. So we play them. After Torino, and then after Legia, we play Roma. So that's gonna be a very entertaining game. Podcast leading up to that game is going to be it's going to be a fun podcast on one. But yeah, no, it was good to see Roma heading back on the winning track, especially for Enzo. He could be happy now that they back on the winning track. They're going to be a good team, and I feel like Mourinho, if Roma loses games, he's going to have them back next week on the winning track. He's such a good manager. He's such a good leader. He's very good with the players. He knows how to win games, and the history shows that he knows how to win games, and the big ones too. So it was nice to see Roma back on the winning track, and it was a very very well performed game from them as well.
Yeah, very well said. Now Dan, I think this is the thing the real Azzurri fans are looking forward here. Obviously, the stigma of this competition isn't well regarded. I personally have always loved this competition, the Nations League. Every chance you could get to win a trophy, I take it. I'm the type of fan to get mad if Juve lose in the ICC final. Even though it's preseason, any trophy is an important trophy, and it just sets the tone for the entire season. It sets the tone for a lot of players' careers and how they handle big matches. And this is what we have going in. Obviously, Dan, as you know, the last time Italy played Spain, we were all very happy. We were celebrating, and it led to the amazing Euro 2020 trophy. And now Spain kind of have their revenge with the Nations League semifinals approaching. This time it's in our backyard, so it'll be very interesting to see how Spain could bounce back from that and how Italy kind of could defend their throne. We're missing some key players here. It's a shame, you know, Zaniolo has turned down Mancini and the Azzurri squad. I would have loved to see him in that false nine role. But now that Zaniolo's not an option, Immobile's hurt. I'm kind of happy about that because Immobile doesn't offer anything special to the Azzurri. I think he just holds us back a bit. So now, if Mancini uses the false nine, Dan, who do you think would be that player? And then whoever that player is, I want you to build a team around him to kind of fill out that lineup for your expected lineup against Spain.
If Italy do go for false nine, I wouldn't be surprised if a like of Pellegrini falls into it. Insigne, I wouldn't be surprised. But I don't think Italy will use a false nine. I think they'll go for striker. And I think did Moise Kean get called up? Did they give them the okay? Because I know he
Moise Kean did get called up. I am pretty sure. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with Moise Kean as my striker up top. I just think they might go with that, but they need to do the false nine. I think Insigne can fit the role. Pellegrini can fit the role. Chiesa, not. I think Chiesa would be more productive on the wing.
I agree.
So I think it will be either Chiesa, Insigne, Pellegrini, or Kean are going to be the ones I would look out for to start. But the lineup, if I had to build a lineup, I would go Insigne on the left, Kean up top, Chiesa on the right. Baratti, Jorginho, Barella, left back, Emerson. I would go with Chiellini, Bonucci. And then right back, I would go with Di Lorenzo. And then in net, Donnarumma.
Yeah, it's a strong lineup, I think. The only changes I would make, I'm going to put Moise Kean up top. I personally, you know, listen, before you laugh at me, Dan, I think against Chelsea, I think he played good. I think he did what he needed to do. I think he did his job well. And I think when he's surrounded by very good wingers, he could be very dangerous. So I personally, what I would do is have Insigne on the left, Chiesa on the right, and Federico Bernardeschi as the false nine. I think that could cause some damage to the Spanish defense. Well, it's not that hard considering Laporte's going to be there. So we shouldn't struggle too much getting past him in the defense. And Sergio Ramos, I don't even know if he's called up, but he hasn't even played a minute for PSG this season, so he's not on match form or as sharp as he could be. So I'm not scared of him either.
So I think he got called up.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not sure if he's like injured or something, but yeah. I would put Bernardeschi at the false nine. And then in the mid, I would definitely do Jorginho. He has to start 100%. Barella has to start just because of his form is just incredible, out of this world. And then I would personally start, Locatelli, just because, his form has just been incredible for Juve this season. And, I think the one problem we have is we have too many good midfielders. Obviously a very good problem to have. Kind of the opposite of what's the situation at Juve, but a great situation to have of who we're starting in the mid, because we have to remember we have Pellegrini, who is fantastic for Roma. We have Verratti, who's just incredible. I feel like Locatelli's definitely the weakest midfield out of all of them.
I think he's just the perfect puzzle piece. So yeah. Most likely it'll be Laporte, maybe Garcia or Pau Torres, yeah. Reguilon, then maybe Sergio Roberto could be an option as a Pecueta. So we'll see what they do. But
it's going to be interesting. Yeah, but like I was saying, Locatelli, I think he's just a great puzzle piece, and he just gels with the team perfectly and offers that balance between Barella and Jorginho. I think I'll put Pellegrini instead of Locatelli. I think to have Locatelli off the bench, just in case Jorginho gets a little bit tired, I think he could fill in for that Jorginho role perfectly. And then Verratti for like a Pellegrini or a Barella off the bench would be our best option here. So I would do Pellegrini, Jorginho, and Barella at the midfield three, and then Emerson, Chiellini, Bonucci, Di Lorenzo, and Donnarumma net. That's my ideal lineup, but I think it'll be Insigne as the false nine, and then Chiesa and Berardi on the wings, knowing Mancini.
I wouldn't be surprised if they don't go for false nine. Maybe in game they could. Say if they start Keane, then like, it all depends. Because if you want to start Keane, usually for the Azzurri, he's performs very well when he has a chance. So hopefully he can perform well tomorrow. It's a huge game. For me, I'm not a huge fan of the Nations League, but now that the Azzurri's in the semifinals, I'm going to be up for it. Hopefully they can get through, go to the finals, win it, bring it home. But I think it'll be a good game. I expect the lineup to be ideal to the one that we saw against Spain when we played them in the semifinals of the Euros. Emerson started that game. It could be the exact same without Immobile. But we'll see what Mancini does if they go with the false nine. I wouldn't be surprised if Insigne plays it. But I prefer if they go for like a normal striker with Moise Keane. And then maybe if they need to make adjustments, then you can switch into a false nine.
Yeah, very well said. I think this game is very important. I think we got to just win with Spain here and then get to the finals and, show Belgium who the real number one ranked team in the world is, or France, one of those two teams.
I don't take those rankings seriously. Italy wins the Euros and they're, what, eighth?
Yeah, it's a joke, honestly. But I think if we win this Nations League, we'll definitely get the credibility we deserve. And just quickly, Dan, before we wrap up here, what are your thoughts on the Azzurri's new jersey and the new logo for the FIGC?
To be honest, I don't mind the jerseys at all. For me, it's just a jersey. As long as they win in them, I'm all in favor of them. The logo, not so much. Don't change what's not broken. I'm not a huge fan of the new logo. If they did were to change it, they should have just went back to the logo that we had in 2006, the year we won the World Cup. Because the World Cup is next year, so it would be nice to just go into it with the old one or just keep it. I don't know why they have to change it. There's nothing wrong with it. But as long as we win, that's all that matters at the end. It doesn't matter how we look. We can be wearing suits and ties playing on the field. If we win with that, then...
That's the winning mentality with the suits, Dan. You already know the winning way. But the jerseys, they didn't change them at all. It was just... it just covered
up the
collar. I think
they said with the material, it's better for the players. It's like more cool fit. I was reading something about it's like a new material that came out. So we'll see what it looks like tomorrow, but I don't think it is much to it. I just think it's the material that they used is different.
Yeah, I was reading that too. It's like a new material, which is great because we always want the players to be like safe on the field and like the best performance possible. I just would have liked to see that collar still there. I think it just adds that bit of pizzazz to the style, and I feel like I was a little disappointed. If getting rid of the collar, but if the players don't like the collar, then fuck, get rid of that collar. But, I'm very excited to see when Italy face up in Spain. In Spain, as they're running at the Italians, they see that nice center crest badge of the Euro 2020 champions, just a constant reminder. So I'm looking forward to that. And as far as the logo, like Danny said, don't fix what's not broke. The logo was beautiful. I'm glad, you know, it's not that logo is not going
to
be on the jerseys.
Awesome. I'm glad that they're wearing a blue jersey tomorrow. It's kind of weird seeing them in green, white. Yeah, it's a little bit normal, more white. But I like the blue jerseys. It's really for a reason. Wearing the blue.
Yeah, but I'm definitely glad that that logo isn't going on the jerseys. You know, it's a good logo. Don't get me wrong, but I think that crest of the Italy logo is just so historic, and you know, slight change is good. But it's like we just got this logo not too long ago. I don't know why they're changing it so sudden. So now, but it is what it is, and I feel like we just gotta live with it. But anyway, Dan, do you have anything else to add before we wrap up here?
I'm good, Pincher.
All right. The last thing, before we say, we gotta keep tradition of cutting the person off. Usually Enzo's here and I would cut him off, but since he's not here, I'm gonna cut myself off here. I just want to wish the Juventus women good luck in the Champions League tomorrow. They're kicking off. I was watching the Barcelona Arsenal game today earlier, and it was very entertaining. I'm looking forward to the Juventus women getting a win tomorrow. They should be getting a win tomorrow, right and early at 12:35, I believe. And then the Azzurri at 2:45 our time. But to hopefully beat Spain. And, you know, guys, if you're watching this early before the game, and Italy beat Spain, you guys could come down to Market Lane if you live in the area, and, you'll see me partying and celebrating like I was during the entire Euro tournament. Yeah, but I think that's everything. Make sure to follow us on all social medias at Six Side Calcio. That's the number 6 IX Side Calcio. And we're everywhere
on Instagram and Twitter.
Instagram,
and
Twitter,
also on YouTube. It's at Six Side Calcio.
For some clips.
For the clips, for the podcast clips. Let me know, guys. I'm gonna do some suggestions too. Feel free to leave suggestions on what clips you would like to see on the podcast, like what parts of the podcast you would like to be uploaded, in case you guys don't have time for the whole podcast and you just want to listen to that one part. We will upload the clip on YouTube. But just thank you guys for the support you've been giving us the last few months since we lost the account. We got it back now. We're very happy about it. We're working hard to post daily content for you guys. So thank you guys again for the support you guys give us. We truly appreciate it, and we wouldn't be doing it without you guys.
Yeah, and guys, don't hesitate to reach out to us if you ever want to be on a podcast, or if you ever just want to send in a clip of a game. If you just feel like you need to say something about a game or a transfer, or something, just want to share it on the podcast, just reach out to us. Send us a video clip, or just say, hey, I want to be on the podcast. Reach out to us, and we'll definitely try our best to get you guys on. We want to engage with you guys as much as possible, and I feel like we want to open up the community a little bit more, so definitely never hesitate to reach out to us, even if you just want to chat with us. We'll be more than happy to. But yeah, hopefully, guys, in the next podcast you see, hopefully we're not only Euro champions, but we're Nation League champions. And, you know, hopefully... We build up the pedigree of the Azzurri and keep fighting to the world to the World Cup. But anyway, guys, it's been fun talking to you guys. Hopefully Enzo's gonna be back next week. And hopefully we're all celebrating the Nations League, guys. Ciao.
Ciao.